okay, we're gonna keep it transparent. He was cheating so bad. It was like me Monday, the other girl Tuesday.
Walk us through that journey.
Nobody else is responsible for what you are tolerating in your life.
How do you make seven figures planning events?
You don't even have to be like the most creative person. I found my first vendor on Facebook Marketplace.
Was doing everything in that way profitable?
I told people like I wasn't making money. People was just like, how? Because I had so many customers.
What is your first step?
Pick a niche and get rich.
Resentment that's kind of building up towards you.
And the conversation changes from like congratulations to you bragging. Girl, ooh, it's so hurtful.
Welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where we have transparent conversations with outstanding individuals in business and their journeys and just learning all the things that they are doing to create the success that they have for themselves. And today, you guys, we are going to be getting to know somebody together. Her name is Kim Perrymond. She is an event planner, party planner here in Atlanta, Georgia. Super, super beautiful. And I can't wait for y'all to hear her speak. As soon as you hear her talk in the comments, I need you to comment what you think I heard just right now. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Donnie.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I love it. I love it so much. Tell us a little bit about your business, who you are and what you do.
So my name is Kim Perrymond. Obviously, I'm a party planner. I am a mom of three boys. I'm from Lakeland, Florida, and I teach women how to build party planning empires.
Why just women?
Because I love the sisterhood. Mm-hmm. I love the sisterhood and what we're building. So just women.
Is that a primarily female-dominated industry?
It really is.
Okay.
It is.
So that makes sense. You are from Florida, but you live here in Atlanta now. Did you move here for business?
I did. I started visiting for like conferences. I got into personal development and I started coming here and it was like every other weekend. So I'm like, I just want to move to Atlanta.
Mm.
And this is exactly how you want to hear.
This
I do. Is exactly how it went. I was like, Sunday, we're moving. Seriously. I was like, Sunday, we are moving. And I have three boys. They did not believe me because I used to pack all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm done. I'm getting, you know. And Sunday, we left. No plans, no hot, nothing. So we packed up, headed to Atlanta. We got an Airbnb for a couple of months. And God just really started opening doors. So
what was it about Atlanta, though? Because I literally just did a Q&A episode that I just dropped maybe a week or so ago. And one of the questions that came up repeatedly was two questions. One is, if I really want to be successful as an entrepreneur, do I need to move to Atlanta? And then the second is, how do I build this Atlanta entrepreneurial culture in my city? So what was it for you about Atlanta that said, we getting out of here right now?
Opportunity. Mm. Every other week, I would say every other week, but every other day, there is a conference going on. You can literally leave the movies and see, like, Donnie, T.I., that, you know what I mean? Somebody that can.
Not Donnie and T.I. Okay, you can leave the movies and see Donnie and then T.I. Okay, keep going.
But, yeah, that's what it was. And I just love, like, just me going out to eat, me leaving a restaurant, and I'm seeing people. They're like, hey. And I'm like, hey. I just love the vibe, the environment. And I was just like, I want to be here.
Did you feel like you had to get out of Florida to build your business as big as it is now?
I did because, like your hometown, people just see you for, you know, the person that you are. They don't see you for the person that you are becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start growing and elevating, people might be like, well, who is she? Or you really don't get that support from, you know, the people that you think are going to support you. So when I moved here, it was just like a fresh new beginning. And, you know, new opportunities. So
You said that you had gotten into personal development. What does that mean?
So I was in a horrible relationship for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. I used to get beat up. And I went through a real bad depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended like Stormy Wellington's The Awakening.
Mm.
And I went to that conference and it just sparked something in me. I realized that, like, girl, if anything is going to change about your life, like, you got to change it. Mm-hmm. You, like, nobody else is responsible for what you are tolerating in your life. Mm-hmm. You got to step up. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. And from that conference, girl, I just started, like, getting really, really big into personal development.
When was this? Like, what year?
Maybe just 4 years ago.
4 years. So you're not too far out of an abusive situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard my story, but I can definitely relate. I went through a stalker from an ex in college who literally tried to take my life. And I can see, like, when you even mentioned it, the way your eyes kind of just went to that moment a little bit. It was Stormy's event. Shout out to Stormy Wellington, but it was Stormy's event that put a fire in you that said, I deserve more than this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was that event.
And so you go to this event and you're there, and it's not an event to help women leave these type of situations, but it's an event for you to become awakened and discover yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You leave that event. What do you do next?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Full-fledged, like, first of all, like, listening to her recordings, affirmations, reading books, just feeling like, you know what, I deserve better. Her conference was like the very first time I even wore a blazer, so I felt so uncomfortable. Yes. Like, I was just it was just a new person being born. Mm-hmm. So I started really going full-fledged with my business. I hired a coach. Mm-hmm. Start going to conferences, doing things like that.
Mm-hmm. So that was the start for you of your conferences and your personal development journey. Personal development changed your life, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm asking because so many people, me being a business coach, there are so many people who come to me for strategy, how to give me the steps. Well, Donnie, what's really the answer? And depending on how they frame the question, depending on what they're going through, I say, you know, well, first step is a series of personal development. Like, we really got to deprogram and then reprogram your mindset. And sometimes people get it, but oftentimes people are disappointed to hear, like, oh, I thought you were going to give me some real game and you telling me to read a book. Talk to us about how personal development actually impacted you. Like, you were here and then you were there as a result of you going through this series of development intentionally.
Well, it's really just taking responsibility for where you are in life. Mm-hmm. Hiring that coach, changing my circle, getting around other people. Because, you know, I used to walk into rooms and, like, people are like, what's up, big? You know, that's Kim. That, and you want to get into rooms where, like, people, who is that? Right? Mm-hmm. And at first, it's like, it's uncomfortable. You don't like that feeling when you walk into a room and people are like, who is that? Right. But I realize now that, girl, those are the rooms that you're going to thrive in. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to actually learn from those people. Right. The goal for me when I first hired my coach was six figures. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like that, you know, we want to make six figures a year until I started seeing people making six figures in a day.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, man, I made six figures in a day.
Yeah.
Right. And then you see people making seven figures and eight figures. Right. So that changed the game for me.
Mm. So but your business, your goal was six figures. You're in Florida, pre-personal development. You've already entered into your event planning business. You've been an event planner for 14 years?
14 years.
Yep. Okay. Walk us through that journey. Like, was that something that you always wanted to do since you were a little girl? Or was it something that it's like, oh, I see a way into some success for myself?
No, not at all. I always wanted to be a teacher. So when I was a little girl, I was in gifted classes. So they used to let me read to all of the older kids. And I just loved the way I commanded their attention, right? So I grew up wanting to be a teacher. I went to college. I was a substitute teacher, went for elementary education. And something ended up happening. I was going to work one day and dropped my oldest son off to his dad and grandparents' house. And I'm like, you know, because I need you to watch him. I got to go to work. And they're like, I'm not watching him today. I'm like, yes, you are. They're like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. So I left him on the porch. They had a glass door. They saw him, but they called the police.
What?
Yes. And so police called me and I'm like, I'm on my way. Girl, I get to the house and they put me in handcuffs. And I'm just like, so
this is the father of your child and his parents?
Yes.
Okay. So y'all obviously had a tumultuous relationship.
Yeah,
okay.
We did.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so I ended up getting arrested and there was a child neglect charge and I'm a whole substitute teacher. And so, of course, that was the end for me. So I had some money and I didn't like, I'm gonna just be honest, right? I didn't like being a substitute teacher anyways, because I'm like, the money, you know, the money is just, it wasn't getting me everything else that I wanted on my vision board. So yeah. I'm like a teacher, the white picket fence house, the Mercedes, and the check is not, it's not giving, right? But so I ended up having, I had a couple of dollars and I'm Googling like, what can I invest in? And inflatable bounce house business came up. And I was like, there are no other black girls in Lakeland doing this. So I invested into those bounce houses. Mm-hmm. Donnie, they came to my house big. I didn't have a truck, a dolly, nothing figured out. I can't even carry the bounce houses. Like, what was I even thinking?
Okay.
I'm like, just put them on my back porch. They ain't even fit in my house. But it just blossomed into me like doing full service, you know, party planning.
Okay.
Everything.
So now you that girl in Lakeland, Florida, if it's a bouncy house to be had, it's coming from you.
Listen.
You literally started like just off of an idea. Just like you Googling stuff, you find it. How did you know it was it though? And I'm asking that question for the people who say, well, you got to be passionate about, are you passionate about bouncy houses?
Not bouncy houses, but the creativity, like me doing parties. It's just, oh, it's just so much fun seeing everything come together.
Did you have any experience whatsoever before? Like, had you planned a friend's birthday party?
Nothing.
So you literally took the idea, got the idea, started the bouncy houses from scratch. How did you get your first client?
Social media. I made a post and this girl was having a party. I was so nervous. I was out there. I got my whole family praying. Like, y'all, I'm doing these two bounce houses today.
Not the whole family is praying over the bouncy houses. They didn't come to the event and pray, though, did they?
No, they
didn't.
Okay, okay. I just called them up. Yes. So, and it turned into, so I'll go to the parties, and I'm realizing, ooh, they need snow cones, cotton candy, balloons. Mm. They need backdrops, and I'm T-shirts, tutus. Mm-hmm. I was doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Was doing everything in that way profitable though?
It led to me being burnt out and broke.
Yeah.
Because I felt like if I'm doing everything, I'm gonna make all the money.
Mm-hmm.
But it led to me being burnt out and broke.
Yeah.
So I had to really like pick a niche.
Yeah.
And just do things around my niche that made sense. Because does it make sense for me to be doing parties and T-shirts and party favors and fly? Like, it was too much.
So many entrepreneurs struggle with that. Like, they get into an industry and they feel like, oh, well, I need to dominate the whole space. So I'm going to serve everything from A to Z. And when you tell someone that you really need to pick a focus and zone in, zero in on that, people get discouraged. They, you know, they don't want to hear it. I was even that entrepreneur early in my days that like, I know how to do a lot of stuff. I'm smart. I can do this, that, and the other and blah, 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 blah. And I made okay money. So for a little while, it felt like I know what I'm doing. I'm the exception to the rule. But when I started to zero in and focus, that's when my success went to a whole other level. For you, when it came time to, now you're successfully planning these parties, you have all of the ancillaries that surround it. what made you say, I gotta focus? Like, besides the burnout, what made you say, I gotta focus? And then how did you know which piece to focus on?
So, why? I'm gonna say, I had an event space. And I'm telling you, like, this was like a one-stop shop. Girl, you can come in here and get anything from T-shirts to whatever you need, girl. A Kit Kat bar with your name on it. I'm pulling out machines from everywhere. So it was like I was robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
When I told people that I wasn't making money, because I lost my first event space because I just could not afford it, mm-hmm. right? When I told people, like, I wasn't making money, people was just like, how? Because I had so many customers. But I'm pulling out machines from everywhere. So that's why I wasn't, you know, profitable. Mm-hmm. So the thing that I love the most, like, I was like, I love seeing the design come to life. So I'm like, I just want to plan the events. I want to just make them beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's what I chose to stick with.
You stuck with that. And then did you notice once you zeroed in on something, did business change for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I always say, pick a niche and get rich.
Pick a niche and get rich.
For real.
I like that. Okay. So at this time, how long ago did you pick the actual niche? How long into your business?
I am going to say this was like kind of right after Stormy's event.
Mm-hmm.
I just took.
So this is like recent, within the last 4-5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this time, now you're at the awakening, you're having an awakening, you go into personal development, you pick your niche, you ditch that man.
Yes. Yes, I did.
You did. How did that go though? Like, it's not like you just, because somebody's watching this and they're like, I need to get out of a similar situation. Like, what is your first step?
It was so hard. It was so hard because I'm telling you, 10 years. And he used to tell me that something is wrong with you. Like, nobody's going to want you. And I believed it.
Mm.
And so that was the thing that was playing in my mind. So I kept just trying to make it work. Because I'm
you
like,
have kids with him?
One.
Okay. So one of your kids, one of your sons are from this relationship. Mm-hmm. So he's telling you nobody going to want you.
Nobody's going to want you.
Okay.
And we ended up, it was just God. I'm going to say this because he just kept doing everything to me till it just couldn't get any worse.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the first step, because my room, like, girl, my closet mirror was broken. Like, it was holes in the walls, my dresser cracked, all of this stuff, right? The first step for me was just getting out of my room, moving into another room in my house.
Mm.
Just getting out of that room. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to see the broken mirrors, the hole through the door, just getting in that other room. And
he let that happen because you're still in the house.
I got into another relationship. He kind of like left. Girl, he was cheating, had another baby. It was just like, we're going to keep it transparent. I'm serious. It was like he was cheating so bad. It was like me Monday, the other girl Tuesday, me Wednesday, her Thursday. And it was just like, God, like, I got to do something. So I got into another relationship.
Wait, Kim.
Girl.
Because why would you, did you need the financial help? Like, what was it? Why was it, were you mentally just that deep in, or did you have a fear of being on your own? Because me Monday, her Tuesday, something going to happen on Wednesday. By Wednesday, we going to make a decision.
Mm-mm. I went through it for.
But why?
This is the first time having this conversation, but I really think, when I think about it now, I think I just didn't want to be alone.
Mm. Was this your first, did you have your first child with him?
Second.
Okay, so you're a mom now, 2 children, and you would rather, at that time, deal with that than be by yourself?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. There's so many people, men and women, but particularly so many women who feel that way. They know it's not love, but they convince themselves that it is love. And then they also convince themselves that it's better to be with someone, no matter how they're treating you, than it is to be by yourself. Mm.
And I was ashamed. Like, I didn't want it to look like somebody else took him. I had a child with him, and you know, you want to be in a household where, you know, your baby is saying, hey, mommy and daddy, mm-hmm. you know? So I just wanted it to work.
You wanted to win.
Yeah.
You wanted to win. You didn't want these girls to take your man. No matter, and now he's somebody else's problem.
Big P.
Big P, capital. Capital, listen. Ain't no lowercase p. Now, though, seriously, he's somebody else's problem. So you move into your own room inside the house. That's step one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's now
with somebody else. I ended up getting into another relationship, very short-lived. But, like, it just helped me kind of really get over him, right? Okay. Then that relationship didn't work out. And then so I just really started focusing on me. Mm-hmm. I'm building my credit. Every day I'm checking my credit like it's Facebook, girl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just working on me, building me, focusing on my business. And then I got into another relationship with somebody who was super, super, super supportive. Mm-hmm. And we just took off.
Is that bae right there?
That's bae.
That's bae. Hey, hey. Help my girl pick up these pieces, okay? Yes. So you get into a relationship. The ex, though, he didn't have anything to do with your business.
Girl, no.
Thank God.
He wouldn't even help. I'm out here with bounce houses, girl, pushing, and he, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So
we're out of that situation. Yeah. And you went through the standard formula, the standard breakup formula. Fix your credit, get back fine. Boss up. What's that? It's time to boss up. Fix your credit, get back fine. You did that. Now you're in a healthy relationship that's thriving. How'd you find the courage to even go back into the dating pool?
It's so crazy. He was my friend, like my best friend, a really, really good friend. And so even when I was in business, like if I would need something, if I need props picked up, I'm in Lakeland, I need them from Miami. I'm like, Terrence, Can you get one of your workers to go pick it? Like, he was just always there. And I don't know. He liked me.
You know what it is, D? You know, it's always the ones that they say you ain't got to worry about. That you actually got to worry about. You needed to be worried about the whole time. The whole time he was plotting, but he was respecting your boundaries or your relationships. Were you? Or you was just waiting on her to get her mind right?
He was in a relationship too.
Okay, all right. So, I see what's happening here now.
But it just, I don't know. Like, I just say, I don't know, God. Like, it just, I don't know. It really just happened. And we were just friends. And then one day, like, he will not admit it, but one day he just touched my butt in Walmart. Like, we going to get some props from another city. I'm like, ride with me. He touched my butt, and I'm like, Terrence. But that don't sound bad.
Wait, it was like, wait, did you? Huh.
Yeah.
That kind of felt good a little bit.
Exactly. Yep.
But did you have some attraction to him prior to? Or was he just like your friend?
He really was my friend. Like, I really
did. Until he touched that ass.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So he does that. Now, that's automatically a relationship? Or did y'all have a conversation? Did y'all, like, say, forget this Walmart, let's run to the house real quick? Like, how does this go?
Girl.
I feel like it was the forget the Walmart, leave the cart here.
No. We just kind of like just started kind of gradually getting closer. And I used to, you know, make T-shirts and stuff. So he asking me to make T-shirts late night and all that. Come on, Terrence. So we just kind of, it just kind of like slowly happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, he helped me. He was very supportive. And we just kind of like took off together.
Mm-hmm. They say that a woman who, and a man, but a woman who finds healthy love, like, glows up in every other area of life. Do you feel like that was your pivotal moment to catapult your business?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had, even when we started, I had, it's a cardboard piece of paper, and I had affirmations, like things that I wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he was looking at that, helping me check off all of those things, everything I wanted to accomplish. And like, he is God sent.
That's so sweet. Are you both entrepreneurs?
We both are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you working in business together now?
We are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're both working in business together. when I said on Sunday we moving, he moved with me, and it's just been, he's like, well, my business. But he moved with me. He trusted the process. He believed in me. I'm telling you, like, he would say, Kim, you could be doing this. You could be. I remember the first time he told me, you could be making $1,000 a day.
Oh.
He made me record my first class. He recorded it with his iPhone, and I kept giving up. I'm like, oh, if it was. But he, like, he did it. He made me do it.
So yeah. He wound up the battery in your back. Now you're building this business. Okay, so you actually don't just plan events anymore. You actually teach women. What made you say, okay, I've done this? Like, what level did you reach in your business to say, I've done this for so long now, I want to teach other people? Have you made 7 figures in this business?
We made 7 figures.
How do you make 7 figures planning events?
So when I added the digital aspect into the business, so when I started teaching other people just kept begging me, like, because I remember posting a prop and people were like asking me, and I'm like, this is so easy. Like, you can just print this image out from Walgreens, put it on a piece of foam board, cut it out with the X-Acto knife, and this is a prop. And I got like some little bling and got a little Amazon roller and put it on there. And people are like, can you teach me? And this is so easy. And I started teaching my first class, $25. And I was just blown away. Once the class started filling, I'm like, oh, we got to find another class and another class. And then I build a team around, you know, classes, and boom.
So the class is the main component of your business model today? Like, not so much. Do you still actually do events?
I do. Yeah? Yep, okay. I still do events.
But the classes are what's going to be the most profitable thing. So if somebody came to you and said, I want to make 6 figures in the event planning industry, is that possible?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If they want to make 7 figures just from planning events, is that possible?
If you scale and build the brand, so you have to be working with like premium clients who are going to pay that. You got to be working with premium vendors, top of the line.
So what kind of, okay, so if I want to be in the 6-figure range, can I do that off of like, I don't know, anniversary parties, kids parties, things like that? I can make 6 figures there?
Absolutely. Because you only need to make like, you can have your design fee, $2,000, right? So if you do 4 events in 1 month, that's $8,000, right? And then around your design fee, being $2,000, what about your furniture rentals, right? What about doing classes? What about, you know, renting drapes, renting other things around what you're doing, and you're going to make money.
So when you rent those things as the event planner, like if someone needed pipe and draping, and if they get it through you, you do a small markup, get it, and then, okay, so you're making money there. What kind of client would I need if I wanted to make 7 figures, though?
So you're going to need, like, clients like Dunny, you know.
You do not need me. No, you don't. I'm not paying that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, no, I'm not saying just from, so, I mean, you can scale your business to a point where you can be charging like a $20,000,
$30,000. Oh, I see. Okay. Design. Clients like me. Go ahead.
A design, your design fee, right? Yes. So if you're doing a conference, if you're doing a mega conference, I mean, your design fee is going to be around, you know, $20,000 to $30,000. You have your vendors, you have your team, other things. There's just so many ways and components, different things you can do, you know, to make extra money.
That's interesting. And then is there, like, I'm thinking about event I know an event planner, and they make a good amount of money by referring people. Well, yeah, by referring people business in other cities that they're not interested in spending that kind of time with. Is that something that you teach too?
Absolutely. You can make, so listen, just having those vendor relationships, because basically people are paying you to leverage your relationships. Like if you call me, even if you're in California, you say, Kim, oh my gosh, I need some balloons right now. We're having a conference. Like when you post, I need a graphic designer right now, right? Mm-hmm. I can send you somebody. You were in Tampa, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I got somebody I can send you wherever you are, right?
Talk more about leveraging relationships, because that translates for me in any business model. Someone asked me earlier if I had to rebuild and start from scratch, what would be some of the things that I would do? And one of those things for me is build relationships as quickly as possible. What are your thoughts?
Facts. Mm-hmm. I am going to tell you, like, that's one of the things that I did not know, right? Mm. I came out the gate, especially when I moved to Atlanta, like, you got to pay me. Like, I'm Kim Possible. You got to pay me, right? But, girl, I didn't know. I didn't know the vibe. You know, listen, me doing an event for Dunny, Dion, you know, David, that can change everything for me. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So if you want me to sponsor something, of course I'm there to do it. So I always tell people, relationships over money, right? Mm. And even when you are building, and this is one of the ways I built my, you know, my business. I have a repeat client. Serve your way to the top. I remember they were doing a summer event. It was a school. They were doing a summer event and they had Fantasia there, right? Mm-hmm. And they were looking for sponsors. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do the decor. Mm-hmm. For free, right? My family like, you crazy. They hiring Fantasia. They got money to pay you, right? But I'm showing up. I'm showing out. And to this day, it's been years, right? To this day, I'm still doing their graduation ceremonies. If somebody need in the office need candy apples, they calling me, mm-hmm. right? So serve your way to the top.
What's the fine line, though? So you said something. You said relationships over money, right? What's the fine line? How do you know when to start charging? Like, when it's not you, when it's you building a relationship versus you being used?
I know, that's a good one. So I'm still learning that too, right? I am still learning that. Mm-hmm. There is nothing worse than you know, it's a lot of work planning mm-hmm. events. There's nothing worse than you going out, you doing all of this. People don't know on the back end what you doing to make it happen. Girl, like, I got a stick holding up the sofa. I got a rock. You know what I mean? I had to call somebody. Like, people don't know. So there's nothing worse than you going out here doing all of this work and a client is just unappreciative or, you know, and you might have called me 24 hours before the event. I came through for you and then, you know, didn't charge you what I should have charged you. And mm-hmm. then you don't like it. Mm-hmm. You like what? But yeah. Clients, they don't realize it.
Yeah. Hey, entrepreneur. Are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside. How do you, though, transition from doing a favor for someone, like not even a favor, but building the relationship? And you've done this event now because I'm an advocate of people serving first if it can open doors for you, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how do you go from, like, if you, for me, let's just say you do an event for me and you're like, Donnie, look, I just want to tap into your network. I'm going to do this event for you. And then I come to you 3 months later. I need another event. At that point, like, how do you introduce the conversation of payment when you did my last event for free?
Well, it has to be a win-win.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be like, it just depends. So if it's a network that I can tap into, I may say, well, Donnie, you pay for the products and I'm going to come out and do your event. Mm-hmm. I'll waive my design fee, but since I have a party plan in school, I'm going to invite some of my students out so they can get hands-on help, and I'm going to charge them. Is that okay with you? Because you won and I won.
Mm. Okay. I like it. Have you ever transitioned, though, any of those free or discounted relationships into full-time?
The school? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not about that, right? So, like, when people are starting out, I'll say, instead of you going out to work, do a party for $500, why not sponsor your services? But sponsor your services for somebody who can spin the block, who can afford to pay you, right? So go to that. Go to the realtor's offices. Go to the doctor offices. Yes. Go to corporate, you know, places. show out and make them feel like I cannot do my next Christmas event without
Ooh,
you.
Kim, so that brings me to thinking outside of the box when you're building your business. I'm sure to build some relationships and get into certain rooms, you've had to think outside of the box. I'm sure that you've had to, at some point, approach clients that you thought, oh, they already have an event planner. How do you navigate in that space? Like, what do you do to think outside of the box and approach people who you think are already connected to somebody else?
It really doesn't matter if they're connected to somebody else, because if they have a primary event planner, you can always be, you know, that second person. Show up and shine, sponsor stuff. I was just thinking when I walked out the door, I was like, dang, I wish I had a gift for Dunny. I'm thinking about
where's my gift? Pause. No.
Seriously, because you're going to think about that gift. Yeah. Like, you're going to, if I give you something, a trinket or something, a picture that says, you know, full transparency, a magnet, something, mm-hmm. a candle. Every day you get up and you see that candle, you're going to think of Kim. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So just thinking outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things.
What are some ideas that you would give somebody right now who's interested in being an event planner, or just not even an event planner, but they have a local service business and they need to get out and start building relationships locally? What are some of those out the box things that you would do to start building those relationships?
Serving. So I tell people, like, you can go to places like Eventbrite, right? People are having events. We have InvestFest coming up, right? Mm-hmm. When you go to InvestFest, when you go to their website, you are literally going to see all of the vendors who will be exhibiting there. Email those people, call them, send them mock-ups of what you can do.
Build their vendor booth, something like that.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Showing them what you can do, because they're gonna be like, oh, this is one less thing I gotta do. All I gotta do is show up.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Email marketing, like, how can I help you shine? Because mm-hmm. you can go on InvestFest, find 20 people, get their name, their email, create one email, you know, message with a mock-up, nice booth build out, send it to them. If two people hit you up,
it was worth your time.
Yeah.
Because you're paying the email platform anyway. So this isn't something that's costing you any money. It's just costing you more so in time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about some of the event planners that you've helped to develop. Do you work with people from scratch, like, to help them? Like, I don't have any idea. I'm coming to you to see if I like this. Does it start there, or do you only work with event planners that have accomplished something?
Both. So I have Tiffany. We started with her. She's a therapist. We started with her when she first started. She's like, coach, I'm almost doing $10,000 a month now, right? And she started from zero zilchinata, right? Mm-hmm. We have, like, these templates. So even you, Dunny, you could say, hey, this Christmas party is going on. I'm going to take this template. I am going to add Merry Christmas, whatever, social proof, whatever. Send it to U-Print. Send it to sticker banners. Mm-hmm. Literally get them to print that,
mm-hmm.
deliver it to you. And you got a party. Your backdrop, your floor wrap, everything is completely done. So you don't even have to be, like, the most creative person.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even, flowers, balloons, you can outsource all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. I found my first vendor on Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make you shine because they are, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's really interesting. Okay, so you get someone from the beginning. You tell them, like, you don't even have to have this super creative eye. Just get with a bunch of vendors. How quickly can I start an event planning business?
ASAP. So you're a party planner. You want to be a party planner. You can take a template, create your backdrop, your floor wrap. I can go on Facebook Marketplace, mm-hmm. call somebody. Hey, are you able to do these balloons for me? Are you able to, can I rent some linen from you? Done.
I love that.
Flowers. You can outsource everything. So when you're at the top, like, it's really like you're the playmaker. Mm-hmm. So all I'm doing is I'm calling the shots. So I don't have to be most creative. You got apps like Midjourney. You can type in, create a Christmas themed party, and it's going to literally lay out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with AI, girl, it's going to create a beautiful event. So all you got to do is say, okay, this is what I want to duplicate. Okay. And it's done.
All right. I love that. Talk to me about what's next in your journey. So where can you go from here? in terms of event planning? You have your event planning business. Like, is this franchisable? What else do you do with it?
So for me, next for me is I want to have a party planning school here in Atlanta. I want to have a place where people can come in to do last minute prints, where the people that I'm helping, right, they can come in and do their classes, courses, and teach other people. We have exotic, you know, furniture rentals. That's what I want to do next.
Okay. And are you teaching your students to do the same thing? Like in your programs, do they get to learn those things too?
Oh, absolutely. So we have, like, let's say JD, she has built a whole community. She's doing exactly what I do. So, like, we have these once a year, we have these workshops where women travel from all over the world. Girl, it's so much fun. But it's called the Transformation Workshop. So we get into one space and then we just transform it into like a big luxury event. So we got people, JD, Kenosha, they're making multiple six figures in their business. It's crazy. Party favors. They're doing all of these things, literally making six figures from our classes.
I like it. Kim, your life has evolved in a way where you have escaped very undesirable living circumstances, and now you're a seven-figure business owner. What are some of the main things that you've learned in business that you just have to share with other people?
Don't be afraid to go alone. That's been one of the biggest things. Like, the people who started with me, even some family, like, if I have a six-figure day, like, I literally...
Did you say a six-figure day?
I did.
Okay. Okay, she over here getting money. I love that. Okay.
I used to be able to, like, drop it in the, you know, the group chat. And the conversation changes from, like, congratulations to you bragging. So it's like, I'm here in Atlanta, and I literally, like, my whole circle has changed. Mm-hmm. And it's, man, that is so, so hurtful. Like, it's so hurtful.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, the youngest of, you know, four girls, and... Girl, it's so hurtful. It's like I don't even have a family, for real. So I'm going to say that. So, like, it's a lot of stuff that comes with, you know, like, you know, leveling up. Sometimes your whole life might change.
Yeah. Yeah. I am a person, like, you know, you hear things like, people say things like, hang around four broke people, you'll be the fifth one. Change your circle, you know, because of that. And I have always strongly believed in maintaining my healthy friendships and not isolating from people just because they don't have my level of success, right? So I do a really good job, I think, at making my friends, regardless of their income level, regardless of what they do for a living, still feel important and valuable to me. I couldn't imagine being in a situation where, like, my family and friends were jealous of me, so to speak. How do you deal with that?
I don't want to say that, like, people are jealous. I don't.
Well, if the conversation has gone from congratulations to you're bragging, are you bragging or is it jealousy?
That's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, even when I talk to one of my friends, she'll say that, and I just tend not to even want to think about it or entertain it because it's so hurtful.
Yeah.
So
maybe to protect your peace, though, you have to just not share stuff with them. I remember when, though, I've never felt like family or friends were jealous. I hadn't had that feeling, but I did feel unsupported, right? And so I learned midway into my entrepreneurial journey at this point, I just couldn't have certain conversations. It's like with this friend group, we talk about reality TV, right? With these family members, we're focused on Thanksgiving. We talk about holidays. We talk about the kids. But in both groups, we don't talk about my business because the wrong response to something that I say could make me feel upset and emotional for days. And then I start to look at you differently. And that now that I'm looking at you differently, I have this resentment that's kind of building up towards you. So to protect my relationships, there are just certain people that I can't talk business with. Mm-hmm. I can't share my wins with, because it's not that you're not happy for me necessarily. It's more so that you're not happy for yourself, so you don't know how to be happy for me. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That's okay.
If I were you, just giving advice, I wouldn't even set up a situation where you can say something sideways, because there are a lot of underhanded compliments that you can receive as well. You know, those, okay, big money, I see you. Depending on who that's coming from, that can be an underhanded compliment. But then the other thing that I've learned in business is sometimes when you personally develop, certain conversations no longer serve you, right? So you don't do the gossiping. Like, we used to gossip, girl, in my friend group, we used to gossip. Now the gossiping sounds like fire in my ears. I just don't want to hear about it. I don't want to be a part of the conversation. So then you have to start transitioning the conversations and seeing if people can transition with you. And there will come a time where you have to ask yourself, outside of this detrimental behavior that we had, is there anything healthy left in this relationship that I'm holding on to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Let me take that advice.
Yeah. Just, you know, I don't cut friends off that are good people. There are people that have been there with you. They make other decisions for their lives that don't have to necessarily be in alignment. Those people don't need to be cut off. You just know how to navigate in those spaces. But the ones that are making you feel like less than, or making you feel like you have to be on some type of cautious behavior around them, seriously think about evaluating those relationships. Mm. Because it makes it so unfun to be successful.
I know it. Mm-hmm. It's like, dang. We're supposed to be together.
We're supposed to be together, for sure. Would you say that that's been the most challenging part of entrepreneurship for you?
That, and I used to be a punk.
Tell me more.
Like, I used to be a punk, girl. Somebody say, like, they didn't like something about me. I used to be a big people pleaser. Mm. February of last year, I went through, like, the biggest depression, like, since the awakening, right? Since mm-hmm. I got on my grind, right? Because I have always been the type of person, like, I am going to handle my business. I'm going, like, I don't care what's going on. Like, look, Neo words, it has to work, or it has to work. Mm-hmm. And February, I made a bad business decision, partnership with somebody. I had an unhappy client. My kids, when I moved to Atlanta, I moved with my boys, and then I ended up having, my sister had to, you know, to help me out. Mm-hmm. I was going through some stuff with that, like where my son's dad, you know, it was just everything all at once. And I was so depressed and nobody knew. Mm-hmm. I'm outside hugging a tree, like, you know, you Googling, like, what? My friends, like, you need nature. I'm outside hugging a tree, like Lord.
I like hugging trees. I do. So you're hugging it. You're trying everything.
Yes. Nobody okay. knew. I'm getting up, getting on Zoom, smiling, putting on my blazer, getting back in bed. I couldn't move. And I feel like God took me through that for a reason, for me to go through. Like, listen, girl, you going to do business or you going to be a punk? Because people are going to talk about you. And right now, I know that I went through that for a reason, for where God was preparing, you know, me to go. Because this podcast, you know, people going to be talking, seeing little stuff in the comments. Mm-hmm. And the punk me, I would have been crying like, well, what could I? I realized that, listen, people going to talk. People going to people.
Yep.
You
do
show
you feel
up.
Like you're, do you feel like now that you're living in your true authenticity?
I am. Because I don't, like, when you was like, girl, you sound like you're from Texas. Like, people used to, stuff like that used to, like, really get me. And now mm-hmm. I'm just like, girl, Christmas.
You know? Y'all, she came in here and she said, I don't know, was it the word Christmas that she said? She said the word Christmas. I said, wait a minute. Yes. Say it again. And I get it because I'm originally from New Orleans, but I grew up in Atlanta. My mom, though, spent the majority of her life in New Orleans. Well, I guess not anymore, but she was in New Orleans for quite some time, and she was also in the Army, and she would travel the world, and people would say, you know, that New Orleans accent, it's only, at that time, it was only acceptable in New Orleans and other parts of the world. People would judge you by how you talk. Today, everybody loves, you know, how you speak when you're from New Orleans. But back then, just the way that you say different words, it was something that was an insecurity for her, too, about how she speaks. And now that it's socially acceptable, it's kind of like it doesn't bother her as much anymore. What were the things that you did to work through it, though? So you're depressed. You take it very, very harshly when someone judges you or criticizes you or doesn't like you. You don't just snap out of it. What had to happen for you?
Building a relationship, a personal relationship with God, mm-hmm. having people around you that encourage you. Like, I'm telling you, like, I remember Terrence, like, putting a blazer on me and, like, fixing it because I'm like, I can't do this. And I had an unhappy client. I remember him like, no, you got to show up. Like him putting, fixing my jacket on me and everything. Like, get up, putting my shoes on me, like making me fight through it. And that's what I'm going to say. Like, get a relationship.
So with support and prayer. Prayed your way through it.
And take time when you need to take time. Because sometimes you really are not okay. No matter when people be saying, like, you got to fight through it. Because I was one of those people. I didn't hear no excuses when people be saying they going through, you got to fight. But sometimes you really do. You got to sit down.
Sometimes you just got to rest.
You do.
And get super, super clear on who you are. When people speak negatively about you now, how does that impact you?
Girl, it just really doesn't. Like, I just, somebody was like, somebody said, with my templates, they're like, you should be ashamed of yourself charging $1,000 for those templates, and you can find them on Etsy for $20. And I went, I did a reel outside holding up a sign. Etsy could never, and you know, we semi-viral. Like, it just is what it is.
So you process it differently. And as an entrepreneur, you'll go through things that will slowly shift you over time, and you'll realize, like, the woman that I am today is starkly different from the woman that I was 2, 3, 5+ years ago. Mm-hmm. When you think about your life, Kim, and the woman that you desire to be, who is she?
She is somebody that is known for getting people to move, impactful, a great mom, a leader, you know what I was going to say? A wife. something in your throat. No, let me give you my water.
I'm choking. You good? For the second time today. Hold on, because you said, I missed the last thing you said.
Okay. You want me to say it again? A wife. Okay.
But you said a wife. Were you saying white or a W-I-F-E? Okay, wife. Okay, got you. Okay. So you want to be a wife? Okay. That one you can't make happen by yourself. I'm just putting that out there. You need co-participation, but carry on. A
pray
wife, man.
A leader, just somebody building a legacy just for my boys.
Do you think, I hear you want to be a wife. Let's touch on that just a little bit. You've been through a lot. You have dealt with, you know, unhealthy relationships. You've dealt with some self-confidence issues and low self-esteem and depression and just judgment and all these things. And I hear you say in your recovery, you found God and you had great people around you. Do you believe, though, that you've done the real work? I believe that we are never quite healed. I believe that we're always in healing. So when we have things that are happening to us, like, for example, we've both been through abusive relationships with men, right? And you like to think, I was in college, so that was a very long time ago. And I would like to think that I've completely healed through that. But what I know is all it takes is one man to raise his voice in the wrong way at me before I get defensive. And that says, well, maybe I hadn't healed from it. Like, it brings a flashback. Maybe I hadn't healed from it. It's just so far in my past that it's not something that actively bothers me or triggers me today until it does. I imagine that if a man came up to you and was like, Kim, you flinch a little, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have history with that. My question, my curiosity is, you want to be a wife, but do you believe that you've actually done the work based on a chain of events that have happened over time and based on the woman that you're becoming to show up excellently as a wife?
I don't. I haven't.
Okay, you hold off. Don't jump the gun just yet, all right? You still being working. We still thinking about it, but now that's the process that we have to go through. For so long, like, I know how to date very well. And for a long time, I thought because I knew how to date very well. And what I mean by that is dating for me has never been a one-time thing. Like, if you spent time in my company, you wanted more of my time, right? So I knew how to date very well. I knew how to put a smile on people's faces. And then I realized as a girlfriend in some instances, I had to learn how to be a girlfriend. I had to learn how to share, so to speak. I had to learn how to consider other people and their feelings and their desires. I'm an only child. And it wasn't until I had a couple of more serious relationships that I realized, like, oh, this is every day. As a wife, you don't get to go home. Like, you don't get to go to a separate space. This is here. This is your life. This is every day. So all of this like nitpicking and things that you're dealing with or what you won't deal with because of something that happened in your past, like, you have to really work on those things. And I am in a space today where I feel so prepared to be a wife, but I was really intentional about the work that I did through therapy and confronting situations that I was really just sweeping under the rug and putting people in position where I gave them permission to tell me all of my flaws and dealing with that, right? Dealing with the ones that I agreed was a flaw. There's a process, and I'm asking because as women who have journeys as tough as the one that you've been on, sometimes we mistake a brief moment of happiness for change. And we got to do some work. What do you think about therapy?
It is something that I want to do.
Yeah.
I know, like, I really do know that I have some work to do.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about Terrence is that kind of like he got me spoiled, so he kind of accepts me for who I am. But just being transparent, I know that I have work to do. I know that I need to be a better me for him.
Give me an example. What's something that you're like, girl, I wouldn't marry this. I wouldn't deal with this. What's something that you know, being the dynamic woman that you are, what's something that you're like, I could do better there?
Oh, Donnie, we almost done with the interview. I knew this question was coming. Best, this is it. So I gotta get better. So I don't know how to cook.
Okay.
I work a whole lot. Like, I work a lot. And I love what I do, that sometimes it's just so selfish to the people around me, even my kids, sometimes, just being transparent, that I just don't take time to just, like, say thank you or I love you or I appreciate, like, show him that I appreciate him. So that and just showing him, just being more considerate, just saying thank you, because he makes it so easy for me to be me.
Oh, so I love that.
That's just something that I need to. Donnie, I DM'd you last night and
you did?
Yes.
Tell me why. What'd you say?
I was nervous.
What'd you say?
I unsent it. He was like, why? He pushes me, like, off the, you know, to do everything.
What did you say,
girl?
Kim?
I was like, is there any way that I can postpone?
No. You knew this too? That's why she didn't fill out that paperwork. Why were you nervous?
So, I don't know. It's just something that I do. Like, I don't know. It's just something that I do. Like, when something big is in front of me, like, I do this all the time.
Really?
And so he just know how to handle me. Like, girl, what? Why would you do that? Like, he just start, why would you do that? That is so, like, why would you do it that way? Why would you I said, you right. And I unsent it. She didn't, and I saw you was active. I was like, oh, let me reel.
So, funny as I don't know what. I'm so glad, Terrence. Thank you for not allowing her to back out. And thank you, D, for not allowing her to back out. Because you are dynamic. Like, you know your stuff when it comes to event planning. You have a story to tell, for sure. And there's no reason that you have to walk. Look at you. Look at you.
Thank you. There
is no reason that you have to walk into any situation not feeling like you're about to go in there and kill it.
Thank you, Dunny.
I'm very serious. Like, look at you. How old are you? Can I ask?
39.
You're 39 years old. You are a young woman who has overcome so much trauma, right? Situations like what you've been through may seem minimal to you now, but there are women who have ended their lives, women who have turned to other trauma to get through that one trauma. And you went from a woman who was in a domestic violence situation and you turned yourself into a 7-figure earner. Like, there's something to be proud of there. You heard for 10 years that nobody is going to want you. You had 2 boys at that time, and you've got a man telling you that nobody's going to want you. You don't have any value. And not only now have you created a life full of value for yourself, but you're teaching other women and empowering other women to go after that same value. I need you to walk into these rooms with your head up high. Like, Donnie, are you, that DM should have said, Donnie, are you ready for me? I want to be clear that you're ready for me. I want to be clear that we talk about this, 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 and this on this conversation, because the world needs to see what I have to bring to the table. Girl, first of all, we working after this, all right?
Thank
because you.
You
really are, like, there's something just so beautiful and sweet and soft about you. And I don't want you to beat yourself up about being a woman who takes a lot of time to build a business. Like, you know what the alternative is. And there's probably a piece of you that's still attached to what you could go back to. But you do have this awesome man who is pushing you in ways that you've never had before. So we want to work on it. I just don't want you to beat yourself up over it. And then your kids have to understand, but there's a way to do it so that they don't feel that you jeopardize the relationship with them, right? That you have to understand that you're working for something that they'll be able to inherit one day. It's just a couple of mindset shifts. Like, I am working on your inheritance. I'm working on your future. I'm working on your freedom. I am working so that you have options. I'm working on your options. That's what I used to tell my daughter. Mommy's working on your options. Mm. And that's the way that we have to see these things. And you have everything. Like, that's the only missing piece. I don't think you believe that yet. And once you get that belief, the way that you are going to free these women who come and partner with you in your community, so next level, like Kim.
Thank you.
No, seriously, I am super excited for you, but I do want to hold you accountable if I can.
Hold me accountable, Dunny.
Yeah, I want to hold you accountable to therapy, because we as successful women, we get so focused on just business, we forget about us. And if you feel like you're not even, if you feel like you're not spending a lot of time or enough time with Terrence and the boys, I promise you, you're spending even less time on you.
Oh, yeah.
You're spending even less time on you. How does a woman who has overcome the challenges that you've overcome and pretty much independently built this life, right? You've had some tremendous support. How do you need to be loved?
How do I need to be loved? I don't know. Like, I haven't even thought about that. How do I need to be loved? Support?
What makes you feel loved?
What makes me feel loved? What makes me feel loved? I haven't even thought about it.
We got to think about it. We have to know, because that's the only way you know if you're in the right relationships, mm-hmm. if you're in the right friendships, people have to honor our love language. People have to honor the way that we need to be loved. And it's easy for people to honor the way that we need to be loved if we understand it first and we choose the right people who desire to love us in that way.
Oh, I'm glad I did come.
I'm glad that you, because look, you are a boss. I believe you have like 58,000 people in your community. And let me tell you what I see in Kim right now, Terrence. Kim is the woman who has 58,000 women who are counting on her, who are looking at her as the symbol of hope, right? She's got all of these women that she's pouring into. Every thought she has, first thing in the morning, she's checking her member, her group. She's looking at the emails, making sure the team is on top of it, doing all these things. I know you. I used to be you. But she doesn't have people pouring back into her in the way that you need to be poured back into. Terrence can love you all he want, girl. He can love you down. You hear me? But you have to be poured into by multiple streams so that you are filled the same way that you are filling everybody else.
100.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. And I would challenge you to make that a goal for you. Find out, like, what is it really? What do I really need? How do I need to be loved? What makes me feel loved? Not just what makes me feel good, but what makes you know, like, and you know, you can start with Terrence because you said this man got my back, like he supports me. But what does that mean? Like, break that down. He has my back because, you know, the same stuff you tell these women.
You sound like my friend. But because, like, he supports me. He is literally the only person, besides my auntie, I can call her, she'll say a prayer, but that's the only person that, you know, fills my cup for real. So like, even when I told you that depression, that's the only, nobody even knew. People were still calling me, asking me for stuff. Hey, can you do, nobody even knew, girl. I'm in my bed 24/7 until I get on Zoom.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone in your community who comes to you and says, Kim, this is what I'm doing too? What would you tell that person?
You got to find somebody to fill your cup. You got to stop being the person that's pouring into everybody and you don't have anybody to pour into you.
Mm-hmm.
Putting yourself first. Oh, Kim, putting yourself first sometimes. Spending time with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And doing more of the things that, you know, like truly make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like for real, put a smile on your face for real. Mm-hmm. Not the stuff that, you know, you just want to go shoot some content, but for real, you know, like doing more of the things that for real put a smile on your face.
Yeah. I feel like you do a lot of the stuff to go shoot this content, get this content. We got the videographer in here. We got all the things, but what's something that you haven't done in a minute that, you know, you're like, know what? I actually like doing it, and I'm going to do it in the next 7 days.
Honestly, like, that thing is, like, just being with my boys when they just run me.
Mm-hmm.
Just being with my boys, mm-hmm. Taking them somewhere, letting them hang out, buy what they want to buy. Because, mm-hmm. ooh, like you said, I'm building a legacy for you.
Yeah.
Ooh. My oldest son, mm-hmm. I just flew them back from the summer. Mm-hmm. They were in Florida. And my son is like, did you give me a first class ticket? Trey.
Oh.
Listen, oh. I have to watch what I say.
Right. I love that for him. He's got some standards.
Very high.
Got some standards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's honestly, like, that's what my boys, like, just being with them. So if we just got to. That's what I'm going to do. So, yeah. Like, if we just got a house and just hung out, no phones, no work.
Can you make sure, Terrence, this happens? At least 2 days. It's just y'all and the boys. Y'all grab an Airbnb somewhere. There's a cute, like, in, if you're going to stay local, you might have some time, you know, a couple of days. They're like these cute tree houses up in North Georgia. Just look up, like, tree house Airbnbs. How old are your kids?
14, 9, and
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
3, 4.
They will love it. So look up the Treehouse Airbnbs.
Treehouse Airbnbs. Mm-hmm.
And they're just fun and it's serene, but you don't have the opportunity to just quickly go and handle some business. Mm. Yeah, you won't have that opportunity. And I think that that will be a start of you saying, you know what? I need to do more of this. I need to do more. This advice that I'm giving you is advice that I've taken myself. Mm. I needed to figure out how to fill my own cup up because we can become depleted so quickly. Like we can wake up on 100 and by lunch we're already at 0 just because of all the things that we deal with as entrepreneurs. Also all the things that we deal with as women. So I have my own things that I do to make sure that I'm filling up my cup and getting away like every 4 to 6 weeks. Lately it's been closer to every 6 to 8 weeks. But without it, like, I'm just a disaster. Mm. I'm a disaster. So that's, like, I want to push you a little bit. Like, I know you're pushing 58,000 women. Before we wrap up, I have to know, how did you build a community to 58,000 people, all based on one idea?
I think it's just leading with value. So, mm-hmm. like, I'm not a gatekeeper. When somebody say, hey, Kim, where did you get that from? Or how can I do it? Like, Here you go. Here, this is the vendor. This is how you do it. So I think just leading with value and building a community around it. So we like the easy peasy posse is what we call it.
Because it's easy peasy event planning.
Easy peasy party planning.
Easy peasy party planning. And then you have the easy peasy posse. Mm-hmm. That felt very, what's that movie? What's the movie I'm thinking of? With Tiffany Haddish and them, and they're in New Orleans, Girls Trip, when they were the something posse, whatever it was, it felt very much like that. So you add a lot of value in the community. People love it because they get what they need from there. But there has to be more to it. Like, what's even drawing people to come into your community?
So our three pillars are sisterhood, success, support. And when you join our community, it's not, you know, you're not doing it alone. You can't call your sister and say, hey, girl, I need some drapes or this package didn't come in. What's the alternate? What can I do? Here, you can just drop your question in the group. Somebody is going to answer you. You mm-hmm. need help with an event. You in Texas. Mm-hmm. Somebody got you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
I like it. So if I want to, or if anybody who's watching wants to learn about doing events and just being an outstanding businesswoman, how could I connect with you or work with you?
Definitely. So you can follow us on YouTube. That is the letter E, the letter Z, the letter P, the letter Z, Easy Peasy Party Planning, as well as Instagram.
Okay. Which is also Easy Peasy. And they're like an underscore.
Underscore.
Okay.
Yep. EZPZ underscore party planning.
All right. You guys, you heard from Kim of Easy Peasy Party Planning. She has you covered if you are looking for learning how to become an event planner, a party planner. But I also think, like, if I would follow you to learn what your secret sauce is to building a community of 58,000 women, like, in this day and age of entrepreneurship, community is key. And it is not easy to get 10,000 people who are specifically following you for that thing. So there's so much to learn from you. And then, y'all, we're following along Kim's personal journey, too. You got business covered, baby, but we're following along with that personal journey. So y'all help me help to keep Kim accountable. As usual, comment in the comments below what your biggest takeaway was from this episode or what you related with the most. All of Kim's details will be in the description wherever you are watching this video. And Kim, take us out. If this is an audience of entrepreneurs who love to listen to the journey of other successful people because maybe they see a little bit of something in you that they see in themselves. If you could close us out in any way with any word, I'll let you have it.
So I would just say believe in yourself, invest in yourself, and don't be afraid to go alone.
Believe in yourself, invest in yourself, and don't be afraid to go alone. I'll see you next week on the next episode of Full Transparency.